broke the news of what will be happening tomorrow on the programme earlier this week. Of course, people who live and work in Liverpool will be offered regular COVID-19 tests under the first trial of whole city testing. Do you remember a few weeks ago, probably a little bit more now, Prime Minister mentioned this Operation Moonshot. Do you remember that? And we all went, what's this all about? Well, this is it. This is what it's being called. We'll see new tests being trialled, which could give results within an hour. And if successful, they could be rolled out to millions by Christmas. This is what the government has said. The latest figures show that Liverpool recorded 352 cases per 100,000. This is in the week up to the end of October. The average area in England is 153. So we're 352. The average is 153. We have come down a fair bit, to be fair, but we're still up there. And the Labour MP for Halton, Derek Twigg, is calling for his constituency to be allowed to take part in the pilot scheme. We had a lot of calls on Monday and Tuesday when we talked about this. You know, people in the outlying regions, in the likes of Halton, say, well, hang on a minute, you know, we pay into the Liverpool City region. So, you know, you can't have it both ways. We're either in or we're out. Can we have these tests as well? Well, this is what Derek Twigg was talking about. The Cheshire seat is part of the city region, which has been in the highest tier for COVID restrictions, but not necessarily the highest figures. He told the Commons that it was just unfair that other parts of the patch are missing out.
We now know Liverpool is being chosen to be a mass testing area. But although the city region, we are included as that in terms of tier 3 restrictions, we've not been included in the testing. And I asked the Secretary to state why Halton has not been included in the mass testing.
It's Derek Twigg there. Well, Bertie Squire is Professor of Clinical Tropical Medicine, Dean of Clinical Sciences and International Public Health at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine, and joins us now. Bertie, morning to you. Thanks for being with us once again.
Morning to you and morning to everyone.
COVID testing for those living or working in Liverpool, we've just heard a little bit about it. That begins tomorrow. How do you feel, from your eyes, how do you feel about this new pan-city testing?
I definitely see it as a positive that we'll be willing to try a new approach to getting the spread of this virus under control. It's really important that, in my view, that we continue to work on ways to prevent transmission. And as everybody knows, so far, the only thing that's been shown to be effective in bringing the numbers down in the midst of a surge is some kind of lockdown. And we also know that lockdown restrictions really have horrible effects on people's livelihoods, mental health and general well-being. So I'm really pleased that altogether in Liverpool we'll be part of developing additional approaches. I do have one other thought, though, and that is it's really important that this effort of mass testing doesn't take attention away from the fact that our hospitals are really under pressure and are going to be so for some weeks to come. And they continue to need all of our support.
I'm sure you did see this report earlier this week from Fergus Walsh, who was in the city, the BBC's Fergus Walsh, and he was on the COVID wards and he was talking to, you know, family members, he was talking to staff, and that really brought it home. And we report on it every day, and of course, and we give these figures out every single day, but to actually see what is going on behind the doors of the COVID wards, I mean, that does make you stop in your tracks.
Yes, and I think some of the things that we, not so much me right now, because I'm not actually on the wards yet until the end of this month, but I work with my colleagues, and I think we see this every day. And of course, we sometimes forget that people out in the general public don't see what's happening on the wards. So I think Fergus Walsh kind of making that clear to everyone is a really important thing for us all to remember. And I think one of the quotes in that was from one of the ITU consultants. You know, he said something like, we're hanging by a thread, and that really is the amount of pressure that the hospitals are under. And so I think, you know, back to your point about mass testing, anything that can bring these numbers down so that those pressures eventually go away is welcome.
Do we have any idea, Bertie, why the numbers are so high in our region? And we know that they've come down a little, but they're still up there. Why is that? Why us?
Yeah, I think I want to start by just picking up on what you said in the beginning and just now. Cases are actually falling in Liverpool, and they began to do so when we went into Tier 3, which shows that the restrictions can help. But even though the cases are falling, the numbers in the older age groups remain worryingly high, and we'll continue to see large numbers of people needing hospital care in the coming weeks. Quite why we have these high numbers isn't something that I can explain really simply, and partly that's because I don't think we fully understand. Mm. But I think it's probably a combination of underlying factors, all of which lead to an increased mixing of people in close proximity indoors. So if you think about things like large numbers of people living in any given household, many generations living together in the same household, and then the need that people have to sustain incomes through work that involves them coming into contact with many other people. And I think in Liverpool, we have quite a lot of conditions, parts of the city, where all those factors come together for a number of reasons. And I think that's really what underlies this.
The tests will begin tomorrow. The military will be in. It's logistical, this really, isn't it? It's boots on the ground. It's manpower that we need, because there will be many people who will want to be tested, and you don't need to have symptoms to be tested. There'll be the curious who think, well, I'm going to check, see if I've got it or not. There'll be the worried well, of which there are many who will want to be tested too. But the more the merrier with this, and as we established on the programme earlier this week, it's so we can see where these are. We can put a pin in the map, can't we, and say, right, there's one. If we can see it, we can deal with it.
Yeah, I think that's right. And you're right about this being logistics. I do think it's important for us all to remember that it's not just about the logistics of the tests themselves or the getting of the results. It's about how do we respond to those results? How do we make sure that people understand what a given result means for them, what they should do? So there's a whole pathway from what, you know, who gets the test to what do we do with the results. And I think it worth remembering, these are the tests that are going to be trialed are variants of the swab test that we've talked about so many times before. So they're aimed at detecting the genetic material of the virus itself, not the antibodies. And the difference is that they should be easier to collect and quicker to process the results. But there are lots of details that will need to be worked out in the course of the pilot, and including learning lessons on how best to use those tests and how best to make them, make the difference that we need them to do.
So it's the same virus, it's just different ways and different tests and different speed at which we find out, you know, whether we're positive or negative or not. And as you, just to ram home the point that, you know, if we do find out that we have COVID, that's when we need to take action. But you can't say, oh, I've got it, but I feel fine, so I'll go shopping, or I'll go and get some petrol, I'll go and get some bread and milk. You know, we need to play a part in this.
Completely. You're absolutely right. The main problem that this testing approach is trying to address is the fact that many people have the infection with COVID-19 and can transmit the virus, even though at that particular time they feel well and have no symptoms. So if people test regularly through this new mechanism and they get their results quickly, then people who test positive can self-isolate quickly, therefore limiting the possibility of spreading to others. That's really that's the crux of why this is an approach that's worth testing. And it's not to say that people who don't have those symptoms will never develop the symptoms. They might do so in the next 2-3 days. But instead of waiting until the next 2-3 days, when they've been walking around, still coming into contact with other family members, etc., this way they get to know early, they take out the possibility of transmitting. That's really what it's about.
There's been some people viewing the trial with suspicion, but a scepticism. You know, they say they're not going to take one. You know, we're a guinea pig city. What do you think about Liverpool being chosen as a pilot city? This city has a list as long as your arm of great firsts through history. This could be another one of them.
I think so. And I think, you know, I think in the city we're the sort of people, I know from my accent you won't think that I'm from the city, but we're the sort of people who are willing to try new things. We're up against bad times, and it's not a question of sitting back and not participating. Let's pull together on this, I think. Let's give it a go. We don't want to be in lockdowns forever, do we? We want to be at the forefront of finding out how we can get out of this. And we've already seen that spirit. In Liverpool, you'll remember, there was a huge surge of people willing to sign up to the vaccine trials. This is a city that will embrace this. And I know there will be people who will be concerned. Of course there will be. But I really think let's embrace it.
We're going to finish with your crumb of comfort this week, Bertie, and we'll say bye-bye until next week. But what have you got for us to finish with?
Okay, I've been thinking about this because it doesn't feel like a time when crumbs of comfort are easy to find, does it? You know, we're in lockdown, there's lots of uncertainty. But the one I've come up with is colleagues. I've been reflecting on how lucky I am to work with so many excellent colleagues. Colleagues in the NHS across all the different roles. We often talk about doctors, but I really want to flag physiotherapists, nurses, healthcare assistants, cleaners, all of the people who we often don't think about in the NHS, and they're really all playing their part. I want to mention my other colleagues in LSTM. You've heard from many of them on the programme, thank you, and I think the public will understand how many of them play roles in different kinds of roles. And then colleagues in the rest of the sort of health and research ecosystem in Liverpool, University of Liverpool, other higher education institutions. So my crumb of comfort's colleagues this week.
Bertie, thanks very much indeed for coming on. And we'll talk to you next week. And just something I just wanted to bounce off you that's just appeared on my screen. A little text that's coming. It says, thank Crunchy for Bertie Squires in this crazy time of Trump and the virus. We have Bertie to help us through it all, says Margie in Anfield. And another one, I didn't think he was from Liverpool. He must be from the posh end, was the other one as well. So there you are, Bertie. There's a couple of messages for you. We'll let you get back to the to your day job. Thanks very much indeed. There's Bertie Squire, who's been with us through this whole thing as we've gotten through it all together. Of course, Bertie has been helping many people with his broadcasts on the programme. He's the Dean of Clinical Sciences and International Public Health at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. Let's get some travel news.